And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to Hate Week.
Hate Week.
It is the Gopher student section's favorite chant and has been for my entire lifetime. Luke, let me ask you, who hates Iowa and why is it you? But it is the battle for the Floyd of Rosedale as your Golden Gophers travel down to Iowa City to a house of horrors that has been Kinnick Stadium. A 5-2 Minnesota team takes on a 5-2 Iowa team. How excited are you and how much bacon have you consumed this week?
Currently no bacon consumed yet this week. I better change my best with a Necton mentality here shortly.
You know, I thought you were a farmer, and how come you don't want to support our local farmers? Trying to get some bacon, what are we doing here, Luke?
I do need to improve there. What I can tell you is that that I do enjoy bacon. And I do have a problem to solve now in my life. Yeah, I'm not a big breakfast person. I'm going to be really honest with you, Ryan. I very rarely eat breakfast.
What's that like, by the way?
I don't know. It's fine. I prefer, like, when I wake up, what I really want is I want to drink water.
I mean, that's fair. The other thing I will ask you here before we get into some of the Spotify comments is I posed this question to multiple people in the Gopher media today because I had an interaction. I was at Target shopping for food, and I witnessed multiple people crack open food before paying for it and starting to munch on it.
Oh, really?
That, to me, I almost, as the kids would say, I got the ick. I was just like, you haven't paid for that yet? You can't do that. I've got bad memories of 25, 30 years ago, my mother reprimanding me for attempting to do that in stores. Yet I'm out here in the wild at the Roseville Target, and I'm witnessing people halfway through a bag of popcorn, eating some fruit. Are you one of these psychopaths that eats?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, I think I've seen it before, but it's not something that I would be comfortable with because it isn't mine yet in theory, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to touch on some Spotify comments. We always harp on the listeners, all these lovely listeners, to leave comments. We can talk about them.
Which, by the way, the Spotify comments are some of the better comments that we get. I will stand by that. Some of the Twitter comments we get are out there. Some of the GI ones, the GI ones can be pretty fun too. But some of the Spotify ones I really do enjoy. I feel like it's the more creative group. So kudos to you, those that leave Spotify comments.
All right, so I'm going to go all the way back to the Nebraska preview because we didn't have enough time to get through it on the 18-point win that we talked about over the weekend. But I see Jack talks about how he is handsome, but not as handsome as me. Well, Jack, I don't know about that. I think you're pretty handsome. I will say this one is one that you'll enjoy, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
T. Davies wants to know, if Minnesota's first 5-star recruit committed, but also committed to a season of Love Island, would I still be happy or would I pull his offer?
I think you'd pull his offer.
Absolutely, without question, I am pulling the offer. I just, those people, I'm convinced the people on those shows are not real. I understand their personalities are fabricated to an extent, but I also think to myself, those people are real, breathing human beings.
Yeah.
And they have the common sense of 5 nickels.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot. Your guy, you'll also like this one. Kay Wertelwin wants to say, long time, first time, no other podcast like it, no other podcast host comments on how tall they are each episode like Ryan does.
You know, what's the best part about that is the number of people that come up to me that I will interact with, like at a game or at a tailgate or just like generally, and they'll be like, you're a lot taller than I anticipated.
Yeah, I just look, I'm trying my best here, but I appreciate it. Your guy Go Gopher says, I think it's finally time to officially retire the word enunciate from the podcast. When Ryan says it, the proper word is pronounce. And then he gives an explanation. Do you think I should probably listen to this piece of advice?
I think for this episode, let's retire it at least.
I'll try to change my best with the Necton mentality. And then finally, Gopher hockey. I can only imagine this is Bob Motzkow saying this because it is a money-related question. Ryan, do you have any information on the private equity plan Big Ten is looking into? It's a $2 billion deal. How would that break down? I noticed that depending upon the brand, some may get a bigger slice of the pie. What does it mean for the Gophers moving forward? Well, faux Bob Motzkow, I would tell you that I have had conversations with some Gopher officials about it. I haven't gotten too deep into the weeds with them yet about it, especially because it sounds like the plan was recently put on hold. If and when it does come to fruition or there is more legs to it, I'm happy to do 5-10 minutes about it and go back to those Gopher officials. And
I think that would be the time, I mean, just to curtail into the Gopher hockey as well, to invite Eric Vigo back and talk about the athletic department and the changes of the college athletic landscape more generally, because he's always a good addition to that conversation, and we enjoy his partnership, and we, you know, he obviously is also Gopher hockey related guy. So
and then finally, I think the last comment I want to get to is from the breakdown one from Becky.
Yes, the OG.
She agrees on the field storming as long as they're not destructive. Let them have fun. You preach, queen. And she says, great podcast from one of the OG women listeners.
Yes.
This is what we are here for, Luke. We are, of all people, on this podcast, baby.
Yeah. And I saw B. Harris, 1987, says Derek with an absolute sermon in the 15 minutes of the podcast. I mean, basically every breakdown that's recorded on a Sunday is a sermon from Derek. It's always enjoyable to have him, and we're very fortunate to have him. Really fun to hear from people. Let's get to this Gopher this Gopher game, which will be Saturday, October 25th at 2:30 p.m. on CBS between your Golden Gophers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Both teams enter this contest 5-2 and 3-1, but neither will leave with the same records. Ryan, let's get to some injuries, because that is always a factor in these games. What can you tell us about both the Gophers and the Hawkeyes as it pertains to the injury front?
Well, the thing I would first get to within this injury report is I don't know that it gets to be one of my favorite weeks of the year narrative street, because do we even get the John Nestor revenge game if John Nestor doesn't play? I will pose that question to you first.
Yeah, it was a surprise to see him on the injury list 2 hours before the game, and then he ultimately didn't play. But ironically, the Gophers had one of their best games without their best corner.
Yeah, that was the surprise of warmups, to look down and see John Nestor in gray sweatpants. We got the 2 hours before that he was questionable. He did move around a little bit before the game. I'm still very unclear of what happened, if it was a practice injury, if it was something sustained against Purdue. I can assure you that John Nestor is doing everything possible to be able to play in this game, because I'm sure there's nothing he wants more than to have his best game of the season against a team where he probably believes he didn't get the fairest of opportunities from, and against a fan base that I'm sure didn't say very kind things in the spring when he elected to transfer.
And you remember when he transferred, we determined he was one of the very rare Iowa to Minnesota transfers. Like that was also interesting as well.
I think that's about the only injury I can really remember, other than Jalen Smith. I should say Jalen Smith as well. I know there's been a lot of questions about how's Jalen Smith doing. I went back and rewatched the Nebraska game, and I'm very certain that the play before Jalen Smith got the tunnel screen where he's tackled at the 1 yard line, he banged up his knee, and he went back and I rewatched it. He does bang up his knee on the play before, which is kind of where his speed gets depleted from. He did go to the injury tent after that. I think it's something that he's likely going to just have to play with for the rest of the season. We'll see if there's anything going on there long-term, or at least for the spring, but I do anticipate him being able to play. Are there any other Gopher injuries that you remember?
I was wondering, I don't know of any other Gopher injuries. We know the ones that are season ending, well, but I don't
like
know.
Like Jonathan McMillan was down for 4 or 5 minutes on the field, and it looked horrific.
Yeah.
He missed two plays and then played 90% of snaps. It was bananas.
So back to Smith just real quickly. Have you ever banged knees like playing basketball?
Without question.
And I think most people have. And that is, like, in the moment, incredibly painful. Like, I kind of wonder if that's what he did in that play, Smith.
Yep.
And so my assumption, now I have zero insight, is that he should largely be fine with that. Like, that can be a little bit painful, but just banging knees usually isn't like a permanent real issue. So,
and then on the Iowa side of things, I did talk to Sean Bach of our Iowa 24/7 site. Those guys are some of my favorites to deal with in the entire Big Ten. I know those guys well. Iowa has had some running back injuries, but it sounds like they're going to get some backs back for this game in Terrell Washington. And I think it's Jazoon Patterson are the two tailbacks, so they'll have a full complement. Mark Gronowski, the Iowa quarterback, did say this week that he is still not 100% from whatever his issue was. That which game was it for Iowa that Gronowski gets replaced in the second half, and then Ferentz comes out after the game and says he could not decelerate?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Probably about a month ago, because they had a bye week to get it ready. But Gronowski's not 100%. And then I know at linebacker, they're going to be able to get their Mike linebacker, Jaden Harrell, back after Jaden Montgomery, the pride of, I believe, Bayport, Wisconsin, who's all of about 5'10", brought some physicality to it. But I think for the most part, both teams are relatively healthy. I mean, the thing that I want to see is I want John Nestor to play in this game so bad, because I know on the first pass breakup against Rhys Vanderzee, can you imagine the hand signals he's going to be giving to the Kinnick faithful?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, no doubt. Okay, if that's it for the injuries, do you want to get into offense? Anything else you want to touch on, just pre-production, or I shouldn't say pre-production, but off the rip, and then we'll talk offense?
Yeah, let's just go into offense.
Okay. On the season, the Gophers are averaging 26.9 points per game. Iowa is giving up 13.3 points per game. That ranks third in the Big Ten. In terms of total offense, the Gophers are averaging 340 yards of total offense, and Iowa is giving up 249 yards of total offense. That ranks fourth. In terms of rushing offense, the Gophers are averaging 122 yards per game. Conversely, Iowa is giving up 92 yards per game. That is third. And then passing, Minnesota is averaging 217 yards of yardage through the air, and Iowa is giving up 157 yards. That ranks fifth. Again, I always like to focus on the turnover margin, where the Gophers are plus five on the season. Iowa, conversely, is only plus two. Not where I would normally expect them, given, you know, their defensive prowess and taking the ball away through the years. So curious to hear from you as to where their troubles lie, as they have eight giveaways and eight takeaways and six giveaways on the season. It seems like maybe they're not having as many takeaways as they normally do. But yeah, so Ryan, for this Gopher offense to find success, how do you think they're going to have to do it?
Not play scared. I mean,
play like a Jeff Brohm team, basically.
We've just seen, like, I could get into the X's and O's, and I will, and I can get into some statistics, and I will, but so much of this comes down to, will PJ Fleck allow his offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, to enable the quarterback, Drake Lindsey, to be aggressive? Because Minnesota would love to win every football game the way Iowa does, except they don't have Phil Parker. And that's not a slight to Danny Collins, who's now called seven games in his career. Phil Parker's been there since essentially I was in middle school at this point. Like, Phil Parker is one of the best defensive coordinators in modern college football, which is how Iowa, and what I don't think is one of their better defensive personnel defenses that I've seen in my 15 years of doing this. Now, they still have talented players like the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, Xavier Nwankwo. He's very good. He's a literal five-star for a reason. And they got some talented secondary members like they always do. But this isn't the 2018 Iowa defensive line that featured A.J. Epinesa, Anthony Nelson, Chauncey Golston, among others. They're good up front, and they don't have, say, Jack Campbell at linebacker. They're a team that I think you're going to see it. I think my hot take going into this game is Phil Parker knows that he doesn't have his normal quote unquote personnel defensively. And so he has to call games much more aggressively. What do I mean by that? When you see Minnesota get into second and third and long as an offense, I believe, now I don't have the blitz rates because that's not a thing in college football compared to the access that NFL beat writers have with different data metrics and things like that. But I will swear on my grave here that Phil Parker is calling it as aggressively as he ever has with blitzes, stunts, sending 5-6 guys because he knows he doesn't have the horses up front to consistently get home with four. That also means when you send 5 or 6, all it takes is one missed tackle into the house. And I think about that Indiana-Iowa game where it's a huge third down in the game. Indiana hits one. They take the lead. They never give it back late in that second half. So I think the thing for me, Luke, is we saw it in 2023 when the Gophers went into Iowa and they won. Why? Because coming out to start the second half, Harbaugh threw the ball 5 straight times with Ethan Kalik-Manis above all people back then. And they hit on a long play, flipped the field position. They were able to get points. They win 12-10. You've now got a quarterback that I think many Gopher fans, if you look back through, you feel about as good as you did back in 2019 when Tanner Morgan was coming in white hot. So as much as it is Phil Parker and it's a scheme that these players are incredibly disciplined, they're always in the spots they're supposed to be. I'm also going to tell every Gopher fan listening right now, if you want to air your grievances against the Iowa defensive backs holds that will not be called, this is a safe space for you. You can make those mental notes to me in your mind. I accept them, as Luke often texts me every morning when I wake up. This is a Davenport of love. And that is what Gopher Gridiron Radio can provide for all of you. You're not going to get a call in Kinnick. Never has Minnesota's receivers gotten a call in Kinnick with how grabby that these Iowa defensive backs are. I love that Phil Parker, who's also the secondary coach, deploys the approach of they can't call holding on every play if you hold on every play. So I just want PJ to be aggressive. I'm not saying you need to go for 4 different fourth downs like Penn State's guy did last week because he has nothing to lose. He's the interim. Who cares? I wouldn't have gone for all 4 of those fourth downs, certainly. But if the game is tight in these crucial moments, lean on your freshman quarterback who has been, I would say, your best player on offense. And maybe he fails. It is only going to be his 8th career start. But just play to beat Phil Parker because I don't believe you've got the offensive line to be able to do what you've done. Say when Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving employed the toss sweep that Phil Parker didn't see coming, or you've seen Mo Ibrahim have some games. I just think you got to lean on Drake Lindsey and you got to pick your spots and you got to hope that these Gopher pass catchers can make plays.
All right. I agree with you on that. I do think that the Gophers have to not, kind of be risk averse as you alluded to.
You can't out Iowa, Iowa.
Oh, for
in
sure.
In Kinnick Stadium.
Never, never.
You can't. I mean, they sort of did back in 2023, but largely that's why the Gophers have had so little success there is when your mantra is also based on what Iowa does. They just do it at a higher level. That's why Kirk Ferentz has won 8 or more games essentially every season for the last decade. They're really good at what they do. So I just think you have to try something different offensively, and let's see if PJ allows Harbaugh and Drake to cook.
Yeah, if you look at some of the advanced stats, like defensively, like Iowa is just really good, right? They're 23rd in EPA per rush. They're 14th in EPA per drop back. So they're not giving up. They're not usually giving up explosive plays. When it comes to success rate, defensively, they're 25th against the pass and they're 50th against the rush. They're just good. And they're just in, they're not giving up a lot of points. It's just the reality. So you got to make do with when you get those opportunities and you have to score. If you can find a way to be able to sustain drives, you just got to take the points that you can get. And then in those got to be converted into touchdowns, not just field goals. Ultimately there just isn't an area that they're particularly weak, Ryan, when it comes to the defensive side.
No, and I even think that we talked to Minnesota offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh today about it, And I thought he had a really good quote about just Minnesota versus Iowa. And he's talking about Phil Parker when he says, quote, he's one of the most respected defensive coordinators in the country. And I know he's respected in our building. It's one of those things where they're tough and they're physical. I talked about it last week going against that Nebraska defense. We have to be physical. Well, you don't have a choice in this game. If you're not physical in this one, man, they will out-physical you, end quote.
And yeah, that's it.
The name of the game. We've seen, I mean, I feel bad because he largely had a pretty good career here, but I always go back to when Sam Schluter got baptized by Anthony Nelson at Huntington Bank Stadium, and that started the Daniel Faalele era. And that was physicality. It's always, regardless if the bodies look like AJ Epenesa or if they look like you and me, it's going to be, they are very physical. They play great football in Kinnick, and you have to be able to bring it to them because then you know they're going to bring it to you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's a good summation. Let's get to a quick break and then we'll talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, I always enjoy when we get a chance to interact with our listeners, and I heard recently after one of the events on Oak Street for you, you ran into Austin, who you've talked about for the Burns Insurance Agency before. Yeah. And goodness gracious, that man has a story, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he appreciated being on the podcast here as a loyal listener, and he appreciates everything we do, and we appreciate him for supporting those who support us. And I told the story here that my father at the Burns Insurance Agency saved him $700. Compared to what he was previously paying. Well, he came up to me on Oak Street. And he said, hey, Ryan, I want you to know I just talked to him. He's going to be saving me, get ready for this, $1,000 this year with switching over to a different insurance company within the Burge Insurance Agency. And that's the beauty of being an independent insurance agent, is every single year, the Burns Insurance Agency looks for the best rates and the best coverage for you because all they want to do is give you the best service possible. Austin saved $1,000 just this past week. So if you are a Gopher fan in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, New York, Florida, or Utah, and you're looking to support those who support us, check them out today at insurancebyburns, all one word, .com, or email him directly, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Iowa is averaging 29.9 points per game. That ranks them 10th in the Big Ten. Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 19.0 points per game, which is 8th in the Big Ten. In terms of total offense and how that breaks down, Iowa is averaging 324 yards of total offense. Minnesota is giving up 294 yards of total offense. In terms of rushing, rushing offense, Iowa is averaging, this surprised me a little bit, Ryan. They're averaging 192 yards rushing per game, which nets them 5th in the Big Ten, where Minnesota is giving up 97 yards per game. And then when it comes to total passing offense, I should start with Iowa. They are averaging 131 yards per game through the air, which is last in the Big Ten, and Minnesota is giving up 197 yards per game. We talked about the turnover margin already. Iowa has 8 giveaways on the season so far through 7 games. So they're averaging roughly a turnover a game. But yeah, Ryan, this Iowa offense very much has one strength, and it is running the ball. I think that's apparent, and Mark Gronowski is a good example of that, of how diverse now they are in the run game. So what are the Gophers going to have to do to be able to stop this Iowa offense?
Do you know what the horrific comparison, I'm sure many Gopher fans will tell me is horrific, is the only thing I've been able to see from Mark Gronowski now that I've watched a lot of Iowa tape? What former Gopher quarterback does he remind me of?
Mitch Leidner.
He is literally Mitch Leidner. And there's a lot of value in having Mitch Leidner. You were the one, and I can see it in your background right now, you still have a Leidner Island t-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hanging there. Mm-hmm. Mitch Leidner was a good Big Ten quarterback, but what were Mitch Leidner's strengths? They were using his legs in the red zone to score, I don't know how many touchdowns he had. He had to have had over 30 rushing touchdowns in his career. And Mark Gronowski is one of the most lethal red zone players that you will face on the entire schedule. He was also maddeningly inconsistent as a passer. And Mark Gronowski, I don't know if it's the step up in level of competition from the Missouri Valley to the Big Ten. I don't know if it's the off-season shoulder surgery that zapped away his entire spring ball and he started throwing the football over the summer and he just has not acclimated. He has been not good as a passer. Now, he also has dealt with injuries at the pass catcher position. For the Iowa fans listening, I'm well aware that Reese Vanderzee just got back. Your starting tight end is now out for the season. Sure. But listen to this. Mark Gronowski is only throwing for 127 passing yards per power four game this season, zero passing touchdowns and five interceptions in those games. Like, that is, I mean, even Mitch Leidner, again, if someone from the Leidner family is somehow listening to this, Mitch was a great quarterback here. And my point being, I mean, Mitch didn't even have a stretch like this where it went that pear-shaped that quickly. And even on that, the Iowa passing game, you think about some of the performances from XYZ obscure Iowa quarterback who turns into the next reincarnation of choose your Iowa quarterback of yesteryear against the Gophers. I'm well aware of that. But they're not even taking shots down the field. Mark Gronowski has the lowest depth of target of any Big Ten quarterback, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's at like 6.3 yards per pass. So I don't know if he just doesn't have the juice, because they have to trust the offensive line. The biggest X factor in this entire game is Iowa's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5th highest graded players via Pro Football Focus, and those are the Hog Mollies up front. Their offensive line is really, really dang good. Like, I think they should be in the same tier as what we saw against Ohio State. And I think their center and their right tackle specifically are really, really good. I asked Danny Collins about it today. I mean, he waxed poetically about them. I mean, they've played together for a long time. They're multi-year starters. They got multiple NFL guys up front. So that's the thing, is Gronowski's had time largely. I just don't know that the pass catchers are getting open, that he's got the juice to get these passes where they need to be. And that's where my biggest key to this game is the same one every other podcaster facing this Iowa offense is. It's don't let Mark Gronowski's legs beat you. Mark Gronowski has 10 rushing touchdowns. That's more than the entire Gopher football team has for rushing touchdowns. When they get into the red zone, if Minnesota gets beat on an RPO from Gronowski's legs or counter, whatever that may be, shame on them. I'm making anyone on the team for Iowa other than Gronowski beat me, because he has been that way since South Dakota State. He is really good with his legs, but if you make him beat you as a passer, that's where I want to live. I mean, that's where I want to live. And that's where, even within all this, it sounds like the same Iowa offense forever. Do you know how many points per game Iowa is putting up per Big Ten game?
Oh, I don't know. Per Big Ten game,
28 points a game. Like, they're doing that with essentially only a rushing attack.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. So that's where I would imagine Danny Collins is going to put 6, 7, 8 guys in the box. And if you want to know what one specific position group for the Gopher defense I am going to be watching from the press box more than any other, it's not the defensive line. It is the safeties. Coy Parrish and Kerry Brown need to tackle well in this game, because if they don't, and they miss tackles in space in the alleyway and don't make it an 8-yard game, it's going to be a 58-yard touchdown, 68-yard touchdown. I do believe the Iowa offensive line is good enough to get to the second level on these Gopher linebackers, who Mariano Soria-Marin deserves a lot of credit for, are playing really well. But if your secondary doesn't tackle well in space against these Iowa tailbacks or even Mark Gronowski, it's going to be a long afternoon in Kinnick. So you just cannot let Gronowski's legs beat you. If Gronowski turns into, again, say the reincarnation of former Minnesota Vikings legend Nathan Stanley, so be it. I mean, he's capable of doing that. There's a reason why he won so many games for the Jackrabbits out there. But he has not done it against a team with a pulse. So make his arm beat you. That's my only plea to Danny Collins.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is you give the comparison to Mitch Leidner. I think that's somewhat of a fair comp. But on the touchdowns alone, like, this is only through seven games. He has 10 touchdowns. Mitch never eclipsed 10 in a season. He had 33 for his career, right?
Yeah.
So I think from a running rate, I would assume that Gronkowski is much higher. One of the things that I found interesting, at least looking at some of the advanced stats, they rank 114th, that being Iowa, in success rate on dropbacks, but they're 18th in rush, right? Their EPA per rush is 24th in the country, which is really, really good. But their EPA per dropback is 81st. But there's a new feature here that Parker Fleming has on his page, where you can look at the Iowa offense versus the Minnesota defense, and they have, you know, as much as Gronkowski is running, I don't know how Parker actually gets this, but he has a QB design percentage, which that would be in rushing. They rank 58th in the country on designed QB runs, with a QB designed EPA of 14th in the country. So they're having pretty explosive plays when they have QB designed runs, but they're maybe not doing it as much as we think. I'm curious to see how much of this, and I'll admit I have not watched Iowa a ton, how much of this is improvised from them. And you know, and as you know, the Gophers have struggled with improvising quarterbacks. I know that they had a ton of sacks against Raiola, but Raiola was a different deal where he just held on to the ball and didn't run enough, probably, when he probably could have.
Yeah, Raiola to the Purdue quarterback was very different. And even with these tailbacks, I feel like we're not talking enough about, like, guys like, I don't know, Kamari Moulton, Xavier Williams. They have four different running backs who will have over 130 rushing yards already. And Iowa is one of the best stretch zone teams in the entire country, with an offensive line who's executing it at a very high level. I'm just telling you, don't let Gronkowski's legs beat you in the red zone. And then they need Coy Parrish, Aiden Goosby, and Kerry Brown at that safety spot to, when they run the alley, they can't whiff. I mean, they have to hit at a clip that, especially for someone like Coy Parrish, specifically needs to have his best tackling game of the season. If he does, the Gophers will have a fantastic opportunity to steal one in Kinnick. If he doesn't, I think it's going to be pretty tough sledding.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Any final comments before we get into the facts and figures?
What percent chance Mark Gronkowski, who, as I said, against Power 4 competition, has zero passing touchdowns and five picks, turns into the reincarnation of Brad Banks, Chuck Long. I mean, how many other names can I go here? Drew Tate?
Yeah, it's higher than I want to admit, because the one credit you have to give Iowa is they find ways to win it with totally different game approaches, right? They don't often stick to one formula. You'll think back to the 2019 game where Minnesota, I would assume, I can't remember if they were favored in that game. What was also the game where they put in Padilla at quarterback and just were like, YOLO?
Oh my gosh, that was one of the most infuriating games I've watched from the press box in my life, to see Alex Padilla just go out there and just sling the rock.
You have to give the staff credit. They find ways and weaknesses, and they exploit them. They get the lead, and then they play their style of ball. But they'll do anything to score. Even when Ferentz's son was an offensive coordinator, they'd do stuff early in games that you wouldn't see them do all year, and it was really impressive. It is really impressive. They just find ways to win, man.
Well, that's where I don't know if many people know this, but PJ Fleck is a gigantic UFC fan. He's talked about it a lot this season with us in the media on and off the record. And this game is going to be like a UFC fight, where you're just going to be throwing jabs back and forth, and hopefully you're the one who can land a knockout punch, kick, scrum, whatever you want to use, whatever term, to get Iowa on the mat. And then once you have them there, you better keep them there, because they're one of the most resilient teams in college football, especially in Kinnick. They just overcame last week against Penn State an 11-point second-half deficit. Now, Minnesota has been a team in the second half that has been much better in the first half. We'll get to that when we get to some more facts and figures. But staying up with Iowa for 60 minutes and not letting them sweep the leg, major, major key.
All right. So again, this game is on CBS. It is on the 25th of October. It is a 2:30 kick. For TV, you're going to have Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, and Jenny Dell. You're going to have the same. You're going to have the same folks on the radio if you're listening to the broadcast on KFAN or the app, which I forget. I think it's maybe the iHeart app. Ryan, you did. One Spotify commenter didn't like the shade you gave because you talk to these guys all the time. I found that one kind of funny.
Oh, good for me. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Go good for me.
Good for you. I thought that
you
was
can hear me on that same pregame show. And then as far as I know going forward, because I know that we probably don't put it out on social media enough. Gopher Football Sunday should be every Sunday going forward, except for the one after the bye week, of which I hopefully will be in a deer stand by then. But Gopher Football Sunday every Saturday, 8:15 a.m. on KFAN.
All right. This will be the 119th meeting between the Golden Gophers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Minnesota leads the all-time series 63-53-2. So Minnesota has a roughly 10-game lead. One thing I found interesting, again, Minnesota does a great job on their notes. In 118 meetings so far, there has never been an overtime game, Ryan. Did you know that?
How is that possible?
It's in there. We'll have to ask the good folks at the University of Minnesota to make sure that that's accurate. But it does say here on page.
Oh, you believe in Carl Anderson on this podcast. Don't you put any dirt
I believe him.
Trust
but
the statistician.
Yeah. Overtime games, zero. Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. Something that stuck out to me. PJ Fleck in his career is 1-7 against Iowa. Kirk Ferentz now in his 27th season at Iowa is 19-7 all time against the Gophers. I think this year he got the all time Big Ten wins record. Correct. Like kudos to him on that.
Okay, here's another one. I'm going to steal from you.
That's fine.
When PJ Fleck wins his next game for the Golden Gophers, he ties who for fourth in program history with wins at the University of Minnesota?
Glenn Mason. Oh,
yep.
Wow.
Fleck is one win away from tying Glenn Mason for program wins with 64. So we'll see if he's able to get that done on Saturday.
One thing I had been tracking for a while, I did see that PJ is now 500 in Big Ten play considering his first season and all that.
He started 3-12. It's been a big discussion. Yeah. Or I think it was 1-12. Let me look.
I don't remember, but it wasn't very good. But so he's been doing well, and then you've got that whole COVID season in there. I mean, I know those games technically count, but I think everybody always throws out those stats, and not just for Minnesota, but for others, kind of puts those with a grain of salt. But he has done pretty well. The current streak, obviously, is Minnesota lost the most recent one, but in Iowa, Minnesota won the most recent game. So the Gophers are trying to avenge that loss. Again, Minnesota and Iowa are both 5-2 and 3-1 in the Big Ten. Looking at the betting, Ryan, for this specific game, the current line favors Iowa by 8.5, according to ESPN Bet, with the over-under being 39.5. And then one thing that I want to note is weather. In Iowa City on Saturday around 2:30, it looks like it's going to be about 57-ish degrees. It doesn't look like wind's going to be a huge factor. It's going to be 11 miles an hour from the southeast. So you'd have a better – I've never actually been to Iowa personally, but you could comment on whether or not that's going to be an impact. The last time Minnesota played there, though, wind was a pretty significant factor going one direction versus the other direction. So I imagine that you'll be commenting on that real time. And then it also looks like it's going to be quite overcast for the game, but doesn't look like rain should be a factor. But again, we're recording on a Wednesday. A lot can happen between now and Saturday.
Yeah, 72 hours out. From what I've seen, probably 40-ish% chance of rain. Well, by the time you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, if you're making the drive down on Saturday with me, just be sure to check the weather to make sure if you need to bring a maroon rain jacket with you down there to Iowa City. But I remember that was a big part of the 23 game was the Gophers wind. Got the wind to start the second half, and that I think that played a part in why Harbaugh was able to dial up the passes that he was in that third quarter, and then the Gophers hung on. But 11 miles an hour doesn't scare me too much. Now if we get reports Friday, Saturday that it's going to be gusting up into the 20s, that's a different story. But hopefully it's just 57 degrees and dry.
You know, normally if you would look at an Iowa record that's maybe 5-2 at this point in the season, you might assume, Ryan, that they could potentially be ranked, right? But interestingly enough, if you look at the opponents they've played, and this is no discredit to them, they haven't played a team that has a conference win so far that they have gotten a win against. So they've lost to teams that have conference wins thus far, which is interesting. Minnesota, conversely, hasn't had much stronger of a schedule, but they have found wins against like a Nebraska who does have a conference win. I didn't go back and look at the non-conference teams. I thought that was an interesting observation. It doesn't say a lot, but I think it more so looks at the fact that maybe why Iowa isn't ranked or a fringe ranked team, and neither is Minnesota.
It's a weird stat. I mean, truly, the conference record for the combined five teams that Iowa has defeated is 0-18. They have beaten Penn State, Wisconsin, and Rutgers here from the Big Ten, none of which obviously have a win. And then Luke's second alma mater, the University of Albany, and then I think it was Miami of Ohio too. It is what it is. They shouldn't apologize for that.
No, they don't need to either. It's just an odd stat, and I think it's interesting, worth pointing out.
Well, this opens something up for me then. Do you think the winner of this game should be ranked at 6-2 and then 4-1? What would they both be? They'd both be 4-1 in the Big Ten, right?
If the winner of this game is not ranked, they should at least be very close to ranked, in my opinion. Just with the given parity, you know, they'll have four wins in the Big Ten. I know that the argument will be, well, they haven't beaten any of the better Big Ten teams. Well, Minnesota has played their lone losses against Ohio State. They're the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. Iowa's lone losses against Indiana. They're the second best team in the country. Like, it's not like they can make the schedule for themselves. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what you say there. I think it's reasonable to think that one of these teams, whoever wins, likely should be ranked or very close to ranked.
Don't disagree.
All right, so let's get to your keys to the game, Ryan. How are the Gophers going to be able to find victory against this very good Iowa team in a very tough environment at Kinnick Stadium?
Well, I think I'm going to speak on behalf of the faithful here and say Drake Lindsay needs to be aggressive while also taking care of the ball. When you look at the two losses for Iowa this season against Iowa State and Indiana, it was not the ground game that killed the Hawkeye defense. They only allowed 3 yards a carry for a meager 104 yards per game. Now, in terms of passing, it wasn't the yards that I want to look at. It's the 3 passing touchdowns to 1 interception, while the opposing quarterback also completed over 62% of his passes. Now, on the 5 Hawkeye wins, that completion percentage drops to 53, and the touchdown to interception ratio flips 1 passing touchdown to 5 interceptions. I have spent enough time talking about Phil Parker. I have a lot of respect for him. I know everybody in the Gopher football facilities does as well. But my plea is to the head coach, PJ Fleck. You did run the ball with some consistency and explosiveness last week against Nebraska. That's great, and you're going to need to run the ball some. But in the game's crucial moments, please lean on the right arm of the best player on offense, and that is Drake Lindsay, to decide the fate of this thing. I'm aware that, like I said earlier, safety Xavier Nwankwo is the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Plus, they got their outside corners of TJ Hall, Deshaun Lee. They've only allowed 46% of passes to be completed against them, and that's with 9 passes defended with only 1 touchdown allowed. They're very good, and I think Zach Luttmer has done a pretty good job of filling in the shoes for Sebastian Castro there in the slot. The scheme is sound. The players don't beat themselves. It's the same Iowa dang defense, even if it isn't the 2018 version on the defensive line of Epinesa, Anthony Nelson, and Chauncey Golston. But just play aggressive. In the second half, play aggressive. And when I talk about he has to take care of the ball, that's one of the most underrated features of what we've seen from the Gopher offense in Big Ten play. In 4 Big Ten games, do you know how many giveaways the Gopher offense has so far?
2?
1.
1. Oh, man.
1 giveaway as an offense in 4 games. That number cannot get to, I mean, you cannot have multiple giveaways. against Iowa in Kinnick and expect to win. So it's going to be a fine line, and I'm not saying that that's going to be easy. You need to be aggressive, but you also need to take care of the ball. That doesn't always go hand in hand. So we're going to need to see Drake Lindsey's best on Saturday. Defensively, it's I'm rubbing my temples because Mark Gronowski's legs, they just cannot let those beat them. I mean, it's a fascinating offense because they're averaging over 28 points per Big Ten game. And their special teams put themselves in some very advantageous field position. I'll get to that here in a minute. But over 28 points per Big Ten game is a lot. And that's with a passing offense that's more dreadful than usual. In the four Big Ten games, 138 passing yards with zero passing touchdowns and four picks. It's just the Iowa rushing attack with that offensive line that is so bleeping good. They have 12 rushing touchdowns as an offense that leads the entirety of the Big Ten. Their five best players on offense per PFF, which say what you will, are their starting five offensive linemen. I think Caleb Johnson did them some favors last year, which is why he turned himself into a top 50 overall selection of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now the offensive line has done a lot more of the work. So it comes down to Mark Gronowski, who's the South Dakota State transfer quarterback. He wins football games. And I will continue to make the bad comparison. He is Mitch Leidner. And there's a lot of value in Mitch Leidner. But it's the inconsistencies with the arm in the red zone, just lethalness. I'll make up my own word here to make the listeners angry. I mean, that's the thing is – they're not chucking it deep. He's got the lowest ADOT of any Big Ten quarterback. Every majority of these throws are right at or near the line of scrimmage. But you have to take away his legs, especially in the red zone. I mean, he's got 10 rushing touchdowns, has a rushing touchdown in every single Iowa game this season. He's fantastic at extending the play, keeping the chains moving. So taking away his ability to break the pocket and knowing where he is on first, second, third, and fourth and goal has to be priority number one for Danny Collins. The safeties of Coy Parrish, Aiden Goosby, Kerry Brown, they have to have their best tackling performances of the season. If Iowa's quarterback turns in to his best performance of the season, so be it. I'll know I'll be able to lay my pillow, ahead of my pillow at night and say it is what it is. But if you give up multiple red zone rushing touchdowns to Mark Gronowski on Saturday, shame on you. And then finally, it's the 78%. I'm going to just continue to harp on it. It's the missed tackles. You have to win that. It's the turnover margin where Iowa is plus three in the take give in their five wins and they're minus one in their losses. And then the other one I'm going to add to it is Iowa's return man, Caden Wetchen, is phenomenal. Stop me if you've heard that before. Stop me if you've heard 2 years ago there was a return that was correctly called as an invalid fair catch or
invalid signal. Invalid signal. It drives me nuts when they call it an invalid fair catch.
It was an invalid signal. I want to be explicitly clear. Watch that. I mean, just stop with this business. He is one of the best in the conference, if not the country. I mean, he's just a weapon for them in the punt return and the kick return. I would imagine Brady Denneberg is going to be asked to kick everything out through the back of the end zone to start at 25. Great. But Tom Weston, Minnesota's punter, did not have a great week last week. He needs to be able to flip the field, but also pin the ball between the numbers and the sideline. There is a very fine line of what we're asking there. You don't want to outkick your coverage like I did with my wife. Oh, good for me. But you also want to place the ball not in the middle of the field that gives him a big opportunity to run. You want to place the ball between the numbers and the sideline, 46, 47 yards. Don't let him beat you. Don't let him flip the field position. Another underrated part of this game.
All right. So just reviewing, you know, where we are in terms of predictions on the season, Ryan, neither of us picked the Minnesota-Nebraska game correctly. We are both 5-2 as it pertains to the straight up record. We are both 3-3 against the over under. You are 5-1 against the spread, and I am 4-2 against the spread. This game, again, is a minus 8.5 on ESPN bet for Iowa with the over under of 39.5. Would you like to go first or should I?
I'll go first. The only other stat I want to add to the listeners, if you've made it this far, keep going a little bit with me here, is Minnesota in the second half of their games. In Minnesota's three Big Ten wins this season, they have outscored their opponent by 38 points. They've scored 48, only allowed 10 in the second half of their three Big Ten wins against Nebraska, Rutgers, and Purdue. The hope would be if you get your fourth Big Ten win, they add to that total over the weekend. So glass half full, Luke's out here drinking his Maroon Madness. The Gopher offense plays aggressively from the players to the coach. I mean, it's little jabs throughout the first half that result in a couple of touchdowns, while Danny Collins gets a fumble recovery off Gronowski, who does have three fumbles this season. But the throw of the day comes from Drake Lindsey to who else? Malachi Coleman for a long touchdown. The Gophers win back-to-back games in Iowa City for the first time in 40 years, 21-16 Gophers. Now, if you want to be Johnny Raincloud, who Luke Buehr compares me to essentially daily in my text messages, the Hawkeye offensive line imposes its will for 60 minutes, and the Gophers get down two scores by the end of the first quarter. That allows Phil Parker to pin his ears back and apply pressure aggressively to Drake Lindsey. Iowa runs for four touchdowns, 250 yards, and the Pig stays in the state of Iowa, 34-13. Now, my favorite line of every episode, as always, reality is somewhere in the middle. I just believe more in the Iowa offensive line than I do in the Minnesota defensive line, especially in Kinnick. And I think that's going to be the determiner for me. Now, I think the 8.5 is too many points. I also think that maybe I have a little bit more faith that Minnesota can score a couple more points, and I think this is going to be an over. I just also know that Minnesota has not played well on the road. I understand you can almost take the Ohio State game out because they are the juggernaut of college football, but they also didn't play well at Cal. But how much of that is now you finally get to play a road game where the sun's still out and you don't have to kick off at 9:30 local time like you did in Berkeley, or it's not a 7 p.m. kick like it was in Columbus? I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the Gophers playing incredibly well when they haven't on the road this season. And I know that Kinnick has just been a house of horrors for them. So I tend to agree with the Vegas line. Iowa's better up front right now, and that wins the game on the road. Iowa 23, Minnesota 16. So that is a Minnesota cover and an over.
All right. We see this actually pretty similar, Ryan. What I will say is Iowa has struggled when it hasn't been able to run the ball. That would be the case in point in Big Ten games would be that Indiana game for them. If you watched the Minnesota defense against Nebraska, you have to come in a little bit more optimistic. They were able to hold in a good Nebraska rushing attack. But there's a difference when the quarterback can also run, and that is also a feature. If Minnesota can find a way, though, to stop the Iowa running attack, I really think Minnesota can lose. I think if not, it's almost a guaranteed loss. On offense, the Gophers are going to need to be able to throw the ball efficiently. I expect to be able to do that. They'll have to hit the tight ends and the running backs a fair amount there. I'm encouraged again by Minnesota and what we've been able to see, especially defensively, where you're seeing a lot of younger players contributing. You're seeing that on offense too, and they're contributing in meaningful ways, and that's a good sign of good coaching, right? But ultimately, I do think that Iowa finds a way in this game. I too also picked Iowa to have 23 points, but I had Minnesota at 20. So that would be an over and a Minnesota cover. And you had 23-16. Let's make sure I note this correctly before we wrap up here, Ryan.
Because what is the over under? You said 38.5, right?
39.5. So
I got an under.
You do have an under. You did. Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, death, taxes, and picking the under when the Iowa Hawkeyes play. That's fine with me.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the other thing bad. I will be very curious to see for Harbaugh is, does he go to more two-back stuff? Like, what is the wrinkle that we see for Minnesota? We've seen it over the years in Kinnick where the Gophers try to throw something else at Phil Parker before he eventually adjusts. But when you do get opportunities across the Iowa 30, you just have to turn those into touchdowns. And it's a lot easier said than done, no question. But we saw even, what was it, the Coe Keefe trick play
the other
day?
Yeah, the other year, yeah.
the other year. So you got to have a thing or two up your bag to try and pull one off like this.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. You want to hit the Big Ten games real quick and then we'll jet?
Let's do it.
All right. UCLA goes to Bloomington to take on number two Indiana. Again, I said that correctly. Number two Indiana on Fox's Big Ten game of the week, or Big Noon game. Sorry. Indiana is a 25.5 point favorite, with the over under being $54.5 or $54.5 points. Jeez, I can't talk today.
Why does Vegas hate the story that is the Fighting Jerry Neuheisels?
I don't know. I think it's schedule is what they don't like, and they believe in Indiana.
You think it's the juggernaut that is also now the Indiana and Ohio State, number one and number two in the country, just like we all thought.
Yeah.
I think there's probably too many points for this, considering how well UCLA is playing.
And UCLA is running the ball, too.
I just think we've seen it the last 3 weeks. UCLA plays like they have nothing to lose, because they truly don't. They're playing for their next job, and the players are playing for whatever they have, for wherever their next school is, depending upon who the next coach is of the Bruins. But I just think that that's way too many points for me. Give me UCLA and the points there. I think Indiana wins, but it's way too many points.
All right. This is the big NU game. Northwestern will go to Lincoln to take on Nebraska, an 11 a.m. kick on FS1. The Nebraska is an 8.5 point favorite. You know, knock twice if you've heard that before. And the over under is 43.5.
What do you make of the way that Nebraska has taken the Minnesota loss? Have you seen some of the quotes to come out of Lincoln this week?
It's interesting. It seems like in some ways they overlooked them, but they overlooked them for what? Nebraska, or for Northwestern? Like, and then they were like seemingly surprised at some of the, like, they took a vanilla approach on defense and were maybe surprised or like spooked by the Darius Taylor explosive run. Like that was odd.
I saw a quote that Dylan Raiola said they had a players only meeting. I'm thinking to myself, you were just one game where you were 5-1. You're 5-2. This isn't like 3-4.
Yeah, they also had a really easy schedule coming into the game.
I understand what the Nebraska schedule was, and we can get into the hymns and haws of should they have been ranked, should they have not been ranked. I know Justin Gard had some very strong thoughts.
Oh, I haven't listened to this yet. Does he? Is it on Pair and a Spare?
Oh, does he have a rant for you? Ooh. He stands at the pulpit, and he gives you, in the words of his 3 to 6:30 co-host, a Sunday sermon.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm going to have to fire
it's
this up.
It's not necessarily about Nebraska, necessarily. Some of it's about everybody wanting to talk, and by everybody, certain members of the Twin Cities media already saying Drake Lindsey's gone, or Drake Lindsey does something well, and they're commenting, well, Minnesota can't pay him. We'll see where he ends up.
The dramatic conclusion with, you know, what, 5 games left in the season?
Sure. Yeah. At what point do I get to say, well, you know, it was great watching Darius Taylor back in 2023. Wish he was still around.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, 2 seasons later. Anyways, this is a huge game for Nebraska. It's a huge game for both teams. I mean, yes. It's like, I don't know what to make of either team. I couldn't be more impressed with how Northwestern is 5-2, 3-1 in the Big Ten. I mean, they just they've got good lines. They don't beat themselves more or less like they were earlier in the season. Whereas Nebraska now, there's a lot of pressure on Nebraska to produce here. And can Nebraska produce in a Big Ten game where their back's against the wall, too? And that's the funny part. Their back shouldn't even be against the wall. They're 5-2.
Yeah.
Like, this is a huge spot for Matt Rhule to say, if I want that Penn State job, I got to win this game.
Well, also,
and
just
they got to win this game.
Just the optics in Lincoln, right? Like,
no question.
Okay. Rutgers is going to travel to West Lafayette to take on Purdue at 11 a.m. on BTN. Rutgers is only a 2.5 point favorite with the over under a 58.5. If you like points, this might be your game, folks.
How does Rob Smith still have a job when he gave up 750 yards? And I'm not speaking in hyperbole. He still has a job. He's still employed by Rutgers University.
He's been fired by Rutgers University once before.
What has to happen for him to lose? And it wouldn't even be lose his paycheck, because he gets paid out through the end of it. So what does he care? I feel for Kirk Shiraka and Ethan Kallik-Manis because every game you got to score 30 or you don't have a shot. Can Purdue put up points after they just got shut out by Northwestern? The answer is probably yes, but I believe in Kirk and Ethan here.
All right. Number 23, Illinois, travels to Seattle to take on the Washington Huskies on 2:30 on BTN. Washington is a 4.5-point favorite with the over-under of 54.5. Are you surprised, Ryan, that the Illini come into this game a road dog?
I mean, we've talked about the stats of how good Washington is in Seattle historically here. And I will make the call right now. It does not get to be the Ryan Walters revenge game if Ryan Walters is the one who left. There is no bad feelings between Ryan Walters and Illinois. He's the one who left to take the Purdue job. It didn't go well, went pear-shaped. Now he's trying to resurrect his career out at Washington. I am incredibly curious to see, and I won't get to watch an ounce of this game because it'll be on at the same time as the Gophers, but Luke Altmyer versus Damon Williams is very, very fun TV.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wisconsin travels to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks, who are ranked number 6 in the country. Oregon is a 31.5-point favorite with the over-under of 43.5. Not expecting a touchdown out of the Badgers.
Well, the Badgers have not scored now in what, back-to-back weeks?
Yep.
And then we see Chris McIntosh release a statement saying it wasn't exactly a glowing recommendation for Luke Fickell. It was, we need money. Mm-hmm. Now, to release that statement, when you're on the losing streak that you are, you've lost 5 straight, you haven't scored a point since Michigan, which was 3 games ago, and now you are a 30-plus point underdog at Oregon, that takes some stones. Mm-hmm. So I'll give the Wisconsin athletic director credit in that regard, but to come out and just say, we hear you, but we need money, whether that's to get better players, whether that's to hypothetically start to look at what that $25, $27, $29 million buyout, whatever it is for Luke Fickell is, and it is, I mean, I know there's been a lot of Gopher fans praying for times like these for this Wisconsin Badger program. My favorite part is to look at the Wisconsin media tweets during the game. And without fail, there's always one Badger fan saying, are we still spoiled rotten, Barry? Are we still spoiled rotten? I mean, it is just gone completely sour.
All right.
Maybe Billy Edwards is back. Maybe not. Who knows at this point?
All right, and then finally, your big turd game of the week is...
Big turd game of the week.
Is number 20.
What are you looking at the... did you see the screenshot?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Steal the joke. Let it roll.
Dang it.
Number 25, Michigan, travels to East Lansing to take on Michigan State, 6:30 on NBC. Michigan is a 14.5-point favorite with the over-under of 48.5.
Here's my question to you. When Michigan wins this game, is Jonathan Smith and Joe Rossi still coming to Minneapolis next weekend? That would mean Michigan State is 0-5 in the Big Ten in year 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think Jonathan Smith should be fired, but I also know that heat rises. And if he's feeling the heat from boosters and donors and the athletic administration,
yeah,
the natural thing would be, okay, well, let me look at my coordinators. And I understand that Michigan State has given up in their last 4 games, 38, 38, 38, and 45 points. I think Joe Rossi is a damn good coordinator. I know Luke doesn't, but
I don't think that he's a bad coordinator. It's just not the style of defense I like.
I mean, you're the one who you've been putting dirt on his grave for some time.
I said he wasn't going to be successful, and I was wrong because he was successful.
Does Joe Rossi make it to Minneapolis, yes or no?
Yeah, he'll make it.
And then after that is a bye week. So I don't know, man. It's a must-win game for Michigan State. Rivalries are fun. Minnesota fans get to see one of the best in college football this weekend. Maybe Michigan State can pull something out of a hat there. They're going to need Luke's favorite Big Ten quarterback, Aiden Childs, to play his best and most consistent game of the year, but it is not looking great out there in East Lansing.
All right, Ryan, what is the cheapest game of the week in the Big Ten?
Oh, it's got to be Illinois and no. It's Purdue and Rutgers.
Yep, $9. Good. For twice the money, you could see Illinois and Washington. Yeah, and then for just a little bit more, $7 more, you can see Northwestern and Nebraska. So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to be a fun week of college football. I think most people think this is kind of a stinker of a week. I think it's a pretty solid week, actually, personally. I think that the Northwestern and Nebraska game is interesting. I think that the Michigan and Michigan State game is interesting. Obviously, Minnesota and Iowa. And then I really like Purdue's chances of getting win number one. So, all right. Any parting words before we go?
Your last October Big Ten game. We are somehow almost two-thirds of the way through the season when the Gophers kick off at home next. It's going to be sweet November. So there's only a few of these left, a handful of these left. Savor them while you can, folks.
Yeah, thank you again for listening. We're having a ton of fun doing this. Thanks to the Burns Insurance Agency for making this specific episode possible. Again, have a great time if you're traveling. Travel safe. Thanks for listening, and go Gophers.